We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
And tomorrow is that day, Kevin Colbert. Reportedly just a few more days for him on the job, and then it's sayonara for Colbert. The next GM could inherit this situation, Mulzey. What is going on with Stephon Tuitt? OTAs, the most anticipated Steelers OTAs of all time, kick off tomorrow because there's a quarterback competition involving one Kenny Pickett, friend of our show. And there is Stephon Tuitt watch. All of the Steelers insiders say that Cam Hayward, even though he's not obligated to be there, will be there to set the tone. And so will 35-year-old Tyson Alualu. But the big question mark is Stephon Tuitt. Starkey asked Colbert straight up, are you assured? Have you been assured that he'll be back? And there was no yes. But there was a reference to positive communication. Well, at some point, the text messages and emails or whatever, you think they're TikToking each other. However the communication takes place, there has to be some in-person communication soon. As in tomorrow, I would think. And if he's not there tomorrow, as is his right, I would think the Steelers would have to start making contingency plans on him not joining them this year. Thoughts?
If he's not there tomorrow, I would treat it as a significant blow against him playing, but not the be-all, end-all. It has to happen. You said has to be some in-person communication, but it doesn't have to be at OTAs. They save money this year, but I don't think next year. It just gets flipped around by making him a post-June 1st cut. But for me with Stephon Tuitt, it's all about just appearances. You said it. Hayward and Alualu are going to be there.
Yep.
They've made it a point to be there. Alualu's coming off an injury that robbed him of most of his season. You see Stephon Tuitt there, well, he's back, I would say, pretty much. You maybe plan for the idea that he has a change of heart, but he's back. You don't, then this keeps spiraling further and further towards the idea that he's played his last down as a Steeler already.
Don't you think he owes it to them, if he's not going to be there, to tell them that he plans on playing this year, but he just didn't want to participate and he's doing his own
so you
individual
say he
workouts.
Owes them an answer. When you say that, he owes them an answer now.
Yeah.
Would be suggesting, though, that you're imposing a deadline when there doesn't have to be one.
But I think there should be one.
Okay.
Because what I
it's
don't.
Story.
What I do, you disagree? What I don't want.
Deadlines spur action. And
yes,
I think
they do, Ballsy.
Given him enough time. I don't even. Not that I feel bad saying, I guess. It is a tragedy that I can't comprehend and hopefully never
Same.
Do have to. A sibling dying.
And his mother there to witness it.
Mother being there to witness it. I can't imagine watching a child die. I don't want to think about it. It has been over a year, though, really, or almost a year.
Yep.
They have been extremely accommodating to him, as
they
I think they should have been. But I would imagine now, like, here's my thing. What would change between now and, like, 3 months from now, fundamentally, with his situation, like, mentally? And I'm not saying that the grieving process is not a constantly moving target, but, like... Because it is, but I don't think that at this point there would be a huge fundamental change in his mental state between now and the start of the season. That would be, I feel one way about it now, but late August, early September, I'm going to feel another way about it. Or more to the point, training camp starts in a couple months, I'll feel a different kind of way.
I think they can make the next GM the bad guy here with him. I think it's an opportunity for whoever inherits this job to look at it in a dollars and cents purely football way. You know, we can take Art Rooney out of it. We can take Mike Tomlin out of it. I'll do it. He's almost 30 years old. He missed an entire season. We know why. It was because he was grieving, which sucks. And he also had a knee injury. But we're paying him a lot of money, and we haven't seen him on the field since 2020. Guys that go a full year at that age without playing, unless they're elite, they usually get asked to take a pay cut or make some kind of concession. So, you know, if I'm whoever the next GM is, unless it's Brandon Hunt or someone who's worked within the Steelers organization, I don't have a personal connection to Stephon Tuitt.
Well, you say making that GM can be the bad guy. When you think about the way Stephon Tuitt's absence has been, I think fans, I don't think people like crushed him for it last year. I think people were understanding.
No, I think fans have been very patient and very fair with him for the most part.
Now, if you have a new GM, say it's Weidel comes
from
in.
From Philly,
who has obviously Pittsburgh background.
Andy Weidel, I believe is his name.
Yeah, it's Andy Weidel, correct. Say he were the new GM.
Yep.
Just the only thing I object to here is the idea that he would be the bad guy. I think people would just say he's making a business
decision.
Well,
he could be the messenger is what I mean. I think it's like having Mike Tomlin make this Troy Polamalu phone call to Stephon Tuitt if he doesn't show up this week would probably be a tough thing to do. So put it in the hands of the guy that is now running the football operations. Why I'm saying I want an answer on him one way or the other is because I want the Steelers to learn their lesson from last offseason. Colbert has gone on the record and he has said, I did not do my job as a GM. I did not get a veteran offensive lineman to stabilize that group last year.
Yep.
And one of the reasons why they didn't do that is because they held out hope that David DeCastro wanted to keep playing football. And his heart wasn't entirely in it. He put off surgery until way late. He didn't have his ankle looked at until he showed up for mandatory minicamp. Then he got a terrible diagnosis. And the recovery was going to put him like right up against the start of the year.
Yep.
So the Steelers moved on. But they were so late in the offseason.
They were in a corner.
They could not find an adequate player to replace him. Trey Turner was just a guy last year. So you do have players like Hicks is out there, the Bears defensive lineman, Akeem Hicks. He's a good player.
He's probably the best defensive lineman available.
Yeah, you're going to have, if you do the post-June 1 move that you talked about, you know, that would free up $9 million? Nah, maybe not that much. $5 million?
My understanding is that it flips this year and next year as to the time when they have the big cap hit.
We can have
this
somebody,
year would be a $5 million
hit. We can have a capologist,
hit.
Yeah. We can have somebody help that. But a $5 million hit is less than his $9 million cap hit. So you'd be saving some money if you cut him. And you already have cap space. So, I mean, theoretically, you could use that money to not only find his replacement, but if you wanted to, you could even bring Joe Hayden back or something like that, too. I mean, it would give you more room to build a complete roster. Ideally, you want Stephon Tuitt back. You don't want to have to deal with these contingency plans or plan Bs because you want to put together this defensive line.
You need to start making plans.
Yeah, exactly.
Either way, you need to make plans. So there's really Akeem Hicks and Larry Ogunjobi are the two guys still out there.
But he got hurt in the playoff game, Ogunjobi, didn't
I know.
He?
I'm just saying, of defensive linemen that people are talking about, you know, your top 100 or so free agents, he's the only other one. And yeah, he's coming off injury issues, even though he's in, you know why Ogunjobi is obviously an injury question? At 27 with a decent track record, he would already be signed to a team if people had
but
a lot of faith.
You,
either way, you still have to get your ducks in a row. And I would think Kevin Colbert, even if the next guy who succeeds him might be the bad guy in the messenger who says, Stephon, if you can't make up your mind, we're going to have to make it up for you. Sorry. I don't think Kevin Colbert wants to repeat last year. I don't think he wants the guy who takes over the job from him to have a situation that looks similar to the one that he gave himself in his final full year as the GM.
You just had two guys in DeCastro and then Vince Williams, too, pretty much make abrupt decisions that they didn't want to play football anymore. And you got stuck with Trey Turner, and then you had to make a trade for Joe Schobert.
They got caught flat-footed.
Yeah.
Do you think DeMarvin Leal was at least in part because they had to have an ambiguity hedge here? Has to be.
I think they saw the value in taking him where they did, a projected first-round talent. But also, the guys at that position are so old, too.
But if Tuitt was definitely back, do they maybe consider going later in the draft for that position? Maybe.
I think that's possible, sure.
So they tried to take what they felt was like a premium talent at a pretty good round in the draft for them. They look at their first three picks as big picks
but
every time.
I don't think they want another Texas A&M rookie, a Dan Moore situation playing out again where the guy has to start from day one. I had Motes on Friday when you were out, Chris, and his take on this was if you don't get the answer that you're hoping for with Tua, you don't just ask Chris Wormley and Isaiah Loudermilk and maybe Leal to split the job. You go out and you bring in somebody who you think can do it reasonably well. And they're still, we just saw Clowney sign over the weekend. It's getting closer to slim pickings, but it's not completely devoid of talent. If you wait until...
I mean, Hicks is basically the choice here.
I mean, if you wait until the preseason, you know, you're either going to pick up guys that get cut or you're going to have to make a trade again. So those are not great. Those are more desperate options than what you have available to you right now. I think this is because I don't think that the quarterback battle is going to get sorted out in OTAs. I mean, that's.
No, I think that's a training camp battle. Yeah. I think the only thing that could happen is Kenny Pickett opens their eyes or closes them one way or the other here.
Yeah, I mean, I think the practices aren't serious enough or physical enough where you can get a true read on now how they divvy up the snaps, but might be interesting. But
give them all to Rudolph just to troll.
Give them to
This is the biggest story that's going to
huge, huge thing.
What's the biggest story that has relevance, like that you can glean something from at OTAs because attendance, even though it's voluntary, functionally is not. And if he's not there, I would more wager that it's likely that if he's not there and they say he's not there, that he's really grappling with whether he still wants to play football.
Yep.
Because I would have a heart, because you know what? You know what would be very easy for him to do if he was feeling pretty good about playing, but he still wanted to take it easy? Show up. Say, hey, you know I'm here. You can even say I'm here, but I'm going to work out away from all the attention. I'm going to show you that I'm physically right. I'll be in the weight room. I'm not really going to poke my head out, though, and talk. You can do that.
I have shifted a change in tone. I thought before the draft, most of the reporting by Aditi, who's going to join us at 4 o'clock, and most of the comments that came out of the Steelers camp were, positive, like they expect him to be there. Cam Hayward said that at the combine.
Everyone we talked to seemed to have that opinion.
And I see a difference now. You've got Dulac and Kabali and some of these Steelers insiders when they do Q&A with fans or they just write and opine on the team and what they're going to have this year. It seems like they now think it's more unlikely than likely. And that's a huge deal because they're trying to fix what was the 24th ranked defense last year. And probably the worst run defense in Steelers history.
And he would probably go a long way towards fixing both of those problems.
Right.
Like he is, Kabali described him, I think, in his write-up of OTAs as a guy at his best who was a top three or four defensive lineman in the league when he was on like a tear. Now, maybe that part's true. He was more like a top 20 defensive lineman, 25, when he was playing well. That's a pretty damn good addition to a line that already has, what, a top five guy still in Hayward, albeit with age being a major consideration?
Yeah, I mean, if he comes back from a year off and shakes off the rust, he has a chance to be...
Dominant. Yes. He can be dominant when he's right. He's that good. And if he's dominant and Hayward still staves off farther time the way he has lately, I don't know why I dropped into a Boston accent there, then the defensive line suddenly goes from big questions to... potentially forceful group.
And if he's gone, I think it makes Alualu's job harder.
It makes everybody on that line's job harder because if you're Hayward, you're going to face more attention.
And he's 35 coming off a knee injury. And we learned with knee injuries last year with Devin Bush and Zach Banner that it's not always as easy as it looks. So this is an important time. We're going to talk to Aditi from 4 to 5. Peter King is going to join us too, who... is very down on the Steelers. Maybe that's because he's hearing things on Stephon Tuitt that aren't optimistic, aren't encouraging. Donnie apparently has a big announcement that he wants to make on the show today.
Yeah, he really took like time out of the day, out of the morning text message thing, which is usually us debating what pay-per-view to watch before the show. It almost took me aback, Pony. I thought he was going to announce something bad. He's told us it's good news.
Three of Donnie's friends got engaged this weekend. Maybe Donnie... is going to make an announcement on his either
relationship status?
Relationship status. What?
Zero to engaged in 1 weekend? This isn't Las Vegas.
I can give you that clue that that is not it.
Oh.
All right. I guess Pony was hoping. Trying to play matchmaker for you for so long.
Is this a personal or professional announcement? Are you going to make a personal announcement and use our huge platform to do it? Is this about Donnie or is about Donnie the man or Donnie the broadcaster?
Is this about Donnie Chedrick the man or Donnie Football the broadcast legend?
It is a personal announcement.
Oh, wow. And you said good, not bad, right?
I've been racking my brain all day trying to figure out what it is. I can tell you guys.
The old Mulsey brain's got absolutely nothing here.
I can tell you that I was, before I got one up by Donnie, I was thinking about carving out some time today to make a big announcement. But now I don't want to be, I feel like mine isn't going to stack up. My announcement, I'll do it right now, is that there's serious consideration among Amanda and I to buy chickens. To purchase chickens and have
what?
To have a chicken coop.
Yeah.
And to have...
To lay eggs
and...
Will you sell me some of the
eventually,
eggs?
Eventually, I think the chickens will also...
Will they come home to roost?
Be turned into...
So you're going to eat them, too.
Well, that's going to be weird because they're going to go, I think, from pets to dinner.
You can't name them.
Why not?
You're going to eat something you named?
I think farmers do that with cows that they slaughter.
I think if you were to ask farmers, they would actually, maybe like old Bessie who just provides milk, but I think they probably say, no, I don't try to form an emotional bond with them or name them.
Well, that's what I'm nervous about. Amanda's such an animal lover and a pet lover that, see, this all sprung from, we were over at her cousin's house for a birthday party yesterday.
Yeah.
And they just put in a chicken coop. And you know how Amanda's brain gets going. So now there's all kinds of thought about us doing it. Now, I wonder if that's an HOA violation, first of all. I need to clear that with King Howie next door.
Oh, boy, that'll be really tough. If King Howie runs the HOA, hey, Howie, I'm putting in a chicken coop. Cool, man, give me some eggs.
I think I might just have to bribe him with eggs.
I don't think you can name these chickens is my point. If they are going to go from egg layers.
I mean, how hard can it be to have a chicken coop? You just got to make sure no foxes get in the hen house.
Well, not for a blue-collar guy like you. It'll be easy.
Seriously, though, it can't be that hard.
I mean, predators are the big thing you have to watch for.
Okay. That's it. Problem solved.
Make sure your dogs don't get in
there. I'll put like a scarecrow next to it.
If Poppy got in there, would Poppy go nuts and try to eat the chickens?
See, I would be more worried about the chickens killing, like chicken on chicken crime.
I don't think chickens in that habitat like just suddenly turn on each other.
What do you mean? They're in a confined space. Maybe it might be like Lord of the Flies.
I don't think so.
Oh, I apologize. I know that you have a wealth of chicken coop experience here, Muller.
I mean, I just don't think that they go in there and it turns into the Octagon.
Donnie, do you think that your story is going to be bigger? Is your announcement bigger than this?
I hope it comes across as bigger than getting chickens.
I gotta say,
I know we have a lot of chicken lovers.
So
here.
I mean, this actually, to me, that rules out some kind of chicken wing announcement.
Yeah, he wouldn't make an announcement that he had become. I don't know, man. He says it's personal, and it's good.
Donnie, if I
and
raised...
And it's not relationship-related.
If I raised chickens, and then eventually, once they were done laying eggs, I had them...
Butchered?
Yes. Would you eat their wings?
Oh, if you had chicken wings made out of them, yes, I would.
Their legacy will live on forever. They were delicious in a habanero sauce.
I'm trying to do the cost-benefit analysis.
How many eggs
do you save
do you go
so
through?
Much money on eggs?
How many eggs do you go through a week in your house?
It all depends. Sometimes we get into hard-boiled egg kicks, or we're eating eggs for breakfast almost every day, making omelets. But lately, that's stopped, and I think it's because...
Do you like your neighbors enough that you would feel bad charging them for some of your eggs? Like, you wouldn't just give them eggs? Like, it would be barter system?
I give
system?
Them such a great discount, it would almost feel like it was free.
Feel like it was free.
Oh, maybe we'd have
Why
a barter
wouldn't you just,
system.
Yeah, I just said barter. Like, you give them eggs, they give you whiskey.
Yeah, I would be fine with that. That's a decent enough trade.
Well, then I think you're maybe doing something that benefits the whole neighborhood. Well, anyone that's had fresh eggs, by the way.
Do you think they're going to be loud?
Different. Chickens?
Yes.
I mean, they're not quiet all the time. It's going to smell, too. And chicken coops don't smell good. You know what they do in the coop? Defecate.
Yes, thank you, Chris. Everyone out there was confused as to what went on in there. Yeah.
I mean,
they roughhouse, the rambunctious.
These chickens just in there playing grab ass
yep.
all the time. I don't know. I want to maintain, if you intend to eat these chickens and not just the chicken eggs, then you cannot name them. You cannot form like any real bond. You're not going to be the one obviously slaughtering the chickens, but you will feel
bad. How much
do
you think it costs to buy a live chicken?
I don't know. I've never thought of it.
Well, now you should start, because you might want to follow my footsteps and get your own chicken coop.
See,
Lennox would love that.
I'm doing the very dude. So we had to buy a carpenter bee trap, and somebody recommended me one on Twitter because the carpenter bees are starting to bore holes in the wood that hadn't been covered.
I had those at my old house, yeah.
Okay. And we bought one, and it actually works very well, and it has trapped probably a half dozen of these things.
If you get stung by one of those, can it kill you?
They can't sting. They can just bore into wood. They don't have stingers.
Oh, okay.
But
Lennox
is terrified of them.
Those big fuzzy-looking ones.
Those are carpenter bees, usually.
Oh, I've seen those in my backyard.
But sometimes they could be just queen bees, and then they'll kick your ass. We got a bird feeder, though, and that has been
a big deal. Now, wait a minute. This might sound like a stupid question.
Uh-oh.
If you are allergic to bees.
Yeah.
And you get stung by a wasp or a hornet, is it the same thing? Or is it strictly just bees?
I mean, I have a couple friends who are allergic and had, like, the EpiPen. So it caused anaphylactic shock. I don't think wasps necessarily cause that, though. I don't. Man,
how about hornets?
Isn't a hornet and a wasp the same thing?
How about a yellow jacket?
See, yellow jacket is not really a bee. It's a crappy wasp. There is rightly, like, all this concern about declining bee populations for a variety of reasons. And people are like, without bees, you won't have food. But then we have very poor bee education in this country.
Correct.
Because half these bees are just little jackass wasps that don't do anything but piss people off.
Back when
they should be killed with extreme prejudice.
Back when I was cutting the grass on a normal basis.
Before you became a blue-collar man who paid somebody to
correct.
Do it.
There were ground bees.
Oh, yeah.
And I ran over it, and they popped down. I got stung like two or three times, and it sent the lawnmower flying. But
sent the lawnmower flying?
Well, yeah, because I had like...
Oh, you were down a hill.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, that is a bad place to have that happen.
But are those technically bees, the ones that live underground?
I think the yellow jackets live underground. I think they're not to me. Okay. Like, there's the honeybees that pollinate. I think carpenter bees can pollinate,
Donnie,
but I don't
ever been
care.
Stung
they're
by
born
a bee?
Into the wood. I'm killing those things.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
See, my brother did not have... He had an EpiPen, but it was for food. I had one friend, still alive, by the way,
congratulations
had an
for
EpiPen
him.
In the office at school. If he got stung by a bee, it was like a 7-minute timer or else he was dead.
So we will ask Aditi for her take on Stephon Tuitt, what we should expect if he's there tomorrow. Really, crisis averted. And that would be huge news. The Steelers' defense has a really good chance of returning to old form with him anchoring that D-line with Hayward and Alualu. If he's not, well, then that sets up for a lot of different questions about how long do you wait and whether or not it would be right for the Steelers to contemplate a replacement, maybe even go out and sign one.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run Finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
Fan Hotline presented by Nemacol. Around every corner, Nemacol creates real-life magic for guests. Ben Cherington on a show, and then Albert Pujols, one of two home runs hit yesterday as the Cardinals crushed the Pirates. And the diehard fans had the knives out. Even the Pirates, who want to believe that this team is going to eventually turn it around and they've got the right people in place and this is just a long rebuilding process, even those Pirate believers were sounding the alarm sirens yesterday, Mulsey.
Mm-hmm.
They were going off. Yes. Casual fans, I think, wait, what's going on here? The real Pirate believers are discouraged by what's going on. And so Jason Mackey, Pirates insider, Post-Gazette, is with us. Jason, why are even the Pirates' biggest backers pissed off today?
I think it was the wrong time for a comment like that. I mean, I understand what Charrington is saying. I don't think what happened yesterday is any sort of like indication of whether they have this figured out or not. I just don't think it was what people want to hear. And I think a lot of people went into this season thinking, okay, they're not going to be great, but like we're bought in. We want to see the young guys. And I think people are tired of seeing Josh Van Meter and Yoshi Tsutsugo. And
so why are we still seeing them?
I mean, it's a great question. I don't have a great answer for you other than they feel an obligation to give these guys, or maybe not obligation, but like they feel like they have to give these guys a certain amount of runway to show if they can still play. I think we've reached that, or we're bumping our heads against it.
Does service time have anything to do with
this? Prospects that they care about, but it's not great. What's that, Chris?
Sorry, does service time have anything to do with this at this point, or have we passed that window at this juncture?
We're past that window.
Okay.
I mean, you know, they would accrue service time, but I don't.
The concerns that they would,
control.
Yeah, the concerns that they would have about it, those are not a factor in this. Is the what you're telling me though?
No, and I mean, I'm trying to logically explain this. I'm not saying I agree with it, but like you sign veteran players, and they're already a little skittish to come to Pittsburgh, right? Because of how much you're going to spend on the major league product. Do they have a chance to win here? Blah 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 blah. Mm-hmm. Well, you do that, and then you pull the plug 36 games in, I think people are even more reticent to sign with your team. I think that's something you're guarding against. But, you know, if guys aren't producing, you can't keep running them out there. So sooner or later, they're going to have to turn this thing over. And I think fans want to do it now, and management's trying to stay patient. And then you have Charrington on the radio talking about how they're really happy with things. I mean, you just can't say that.
They have the worst run differential in baseball today.
40 games
in. A quarter of the way through the season. I mean, you're watching them every day. Are they really that bad?
Yes, they are. And I'm okay with that.
Is that the plan for them to be bad this year? Do you think that that's what Charrington wanted?
Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly. You just can't go on the radio and say that, like, you know, we're really seeing signs of progress. And, like, I know what Ben's talking about. You know, they're talking about doing things differently with pitchers. I have no problem with that. They're talking about, you know, when to pull a guy, when to leave a guy. Fine, whatever. That's just not what your fan base wants to hear right now. It's not what your fan base deserves to hear based on what they're being forced to watch. You just can't do that. I mean, people, human beings pay to go to your ballpark. And the Pirates, to their credit, do a lot of things that are very computer-based, numbers-based. This is not one of those things. This is a read-the-room thing, and the Pirates did not do it.
Yeah, the thing that would bother me about those comments in particular is that when I hear or I read them and I hear Pony play them about, like, our processes are good, essentially, Jason, that always creates in my mind the image of a team that's really thinking multiple steps ahead, that dots the I's and crosses the T's. And, like, I could even reconcile they don't have very many good players. They have a ton of errors, too. So, like, I don't really want to hear about, I guess, and I would imagine fans feel this way, when they're playing such sloppy baseball defensively, I don't really want to hear about the ways in which they are structurally doing things the right way behind the scenes, because what happens on the field is a comedy of errors too often.
Yeah, and people want blood, and I don't mean that in a malicious way. It's just like they care. They're emotionally invested. They want to see you emotionally invested. And I don't think that's something the Pirates do very well.
Well, the diehards are out for the pitching coach. They want him fired, I noticed. The diehards are really scathing this guy because of the Keller performance, what Cool's doing, what Clay Holmes is doing now. Like, they want this guy out. Is that is that just an emotional thing, Jason, or is there some truth to that?
No, I don't think that's an emotional thing. I don't think, you know, I completely understand that. The performance hasn't been there.
But if the performance is supposed to be bad on purpose, then how do you blame the pitching coach for it?
Because you should be able to bring veteran players in here and make them better. They should not have to go elsewhere to be good. And that has happened far too many times, and it's a trend that the Pirates needed to stop with this new regime and clearly have not. Like, that is something that I can tell you firsthand really, really bothered Bob Nutting. You look at players that go elsewhere. You know, Garrett Cole got better when he left. Tyler Glasnow got better than when he left. What's happening now? Chad Kuhl got better when he left. Clay Holmes got better than he left. It hasn't been fixed. and that's been on Oscar Marin's watch. And, you know, are they really pitching that much better right now? No. I mean, you could fire him tomorrow. I wouldn't argue with you. You could say you have until the end of the year to figure it out. I also wouldn't argue with you. But I can't sit here and say that the performance has been good enough even for what the roster is. It hasn't been.
Jason, here's another element to this. I think a thing that they have studiously avoided saying is specifically the word rebuild publicly, correct? I'm not imagining that. They have avoided that word like the plague.
Yeah, there's been like one or two times where they've actually said it.
But by and large, they haven't, right?
Yeah,
okay,
correct.
So here's my other issue. And I wonder, maybe I'm speaking for a bunch of the people that you would get some messages from in a mailbag. If I know the team is rebuilding because they've just explicitly said it and there's been some sort of battle plan laid out, like verbatim, like they're straight up saying it to me and not implying it with what I'm seeing on the field every night, for example, I have a much easier time with the numbers across the board being as bad as they are, even if it's veterans who are just trying to latch on here and then get traded, even if they're the ones responsible and I want to see the youth movement. If there has been an explicit statement like, yes, this is what we're doing, we know it kind of sucks, bear with us, I would feel a lot better about it. But because they have studiously and almost completely avoided using that word or those terms, even though I know what's happening in front of my eyes, it's frustrating that they won't acknowledge it as such.
I couldn't agree with you more, Chris.
Wow.
I think there are legions of people that would agree with both of us, man. The best thing the New York Rangers did before they got good was send that letter to their fans. The Pirates should have done the same thing. People would have so much more patience if you're just straight up with them. Anybody that looked at the Pirates before this regime took over and didn't think that they needed to make some like serious changes on how they did things, I mean, you're delusional. And the Pirates, by and large, have made some really good changes. Give them a lot of credit for what they're doing in the minor leagues. And like, this is a product of that. This year is just difficult. I understand them not spending a ton of money right now. It is more important to extend Brian Reynolds and sign Key Brian Hayes and do all this stuff. They're doing exactly what they should be doing. They've improved some stuff at the minor league level. But this year to fans should be about, look, here's the young kids you're going to see. Here's why you need to buy in on the ground floor. We're going to talk about these kids. We're going to let you up close and personal. We want you to grow with us. But what their actions have shown, it's the exact opposite. They don't talk about development. They don't let you in on the process. They're not playing the kids. So I don't understand that. I mean, you can't expect fans to just go to the ballpark out of sheer habit, even if you run Josh Van Meter out there. Like, people aren't going to buy tickets to see that. They're not stupid.
Now, what is all this talk about how the big hot name now that we're going to hear over the next 2 months is Bednar? That teams want to get David Bednar, that they're going to trade the young kid from Pittsburgh at the deadline, even though he's got years of control left. Are you buying that, Jason? Is that actually
a
No, you're not. So then why do you have these people out there saying that he is on the trade block? Who are these people doing that? These are baseball insiders who are doing this.
Well,
you don't buy it?
I would love to send me a link, Tony. Text me a link to where the Pirates have put him on the trade block.
Well, because I don't know if they've put him on the block. I'm saying that they're going to get offers and they might listen to him and maybe do it.
If he's their best chip.
Who said that they might listen and they might do it?
I'm looking at one right now. Hold on.
Hold on.
I'm going to pull it up right now for you. Give me a hot second. Jim Bowden. Hottest reliever name at the deadline will be David Bednar. Boom.
I mean, one, Ben Cherington should absolutely listen. Should he do something? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. I mean, teams are going to call about Bednar. They should call about Bednar. The Pirates have traded so many guys, of course. Why wouldn't you? Why wouldn't you try to make that deal? You can't sign the guy that has become one of the best closers and one best relievers in baseball, who's from here, who represents everything that is good about what is happening. Right? You just can't do it. You can't do it.
How about Reynolds?
I think it's circumstantial. I can't imagine anybody would be calling based on what his first half was, but I don't like it from a business reason, Andrew, just because I think Brian Reynolds is a lot better than he's shown so far. I'm not really breaking any news there. And like, why would you trade an asset at its lowest point? You know, if anything, I'd try to maybe add some money on top of that and bet on Reynolds and try to get the extension done now. But I just, I can't possibly see it netting a return where I'd feel good enough about it that they did it right now.
Jason, do you think that Cherington, or to what degree do you think Cherington and Shelton are on the same page at this point? Because I know the GM talks about how much he likes their processes, and yet I also know that the manager basically said, yeah, but our execution stinks. I have to believe that there might be some, I'm not going to say tension, but that Shelton probably wants to be managing young guys up at the big league club who actually have a future rather than the Van Meters of the world at this moment in time.
Honestly, Chris, I don't agree with you there. I agreed with you on the other point. I don't think that there's any sort of like tension. I think they view this thing the exact same way. I really do. I think Shelton would maybe like to have some better players, but I think he legitimately thinks that these guys need to be down here, and I think they're both in it for the long haul. I don't view what's happening right now as them being on a different page. If anything, the way Shelton talked about it after the game, I think they like. You know, I'm sure he was prepped and told, like, look, this is out here on Twitter. Your GM's getting absolutely crushed. Like, you're going to get asked about this. I think you need to, you know, sort of give the people a pound of flesh, so to speak. I mean, that's what I took from it. And his answer was just a little bit better than Charrington.
All right, Jason.
Should Pony start a chicken coop in his backyard?
100%. I can't believe he doesn't have one already.
There you go.
Wow.
There's a big endorsement.
You're not getting many other endorsements, though, from people right now, Pony.
Are they verified on Twitter
them,
like Jason?
Malzy?
Malzy said not to name him because that's going to make it harder to eat
them
eventually.
Yeah, he thinks eventually once they like it gets to the point where they've been there long enough, he's going to eat them. I said you can't name
an animal. Well, now I'm getting
texts
that they lay eggs for 7 years.
You cannot name that chicken. And you most certainly, if you're going to eat it, cannot name it Lil Malzy. Although I like that Seinfeld callback.
I hope they clip that bit for a fan promo right there.
I like that Seinfeld callback. If that was a Lil Jerry reference, I'm all for it here, man.
Check him out in the Post-Gazette.
Of course it was.
Jason Mackey. Thank you, Jason.
Thanks, guys. Have a good one.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.